Republicans are already calling it a trap. It's got to be a trap. Republicans have to govern, must be a trap, because they don't want to govern. They want to be the party of no. But throughout this hour, we're going to be reading aspects of the health care proposal and finding out whether anybody actually disagrees with this, because a lot of it is rhetoric from the Republicans rather than the truth.
And find out if it's going to do us any good at all. And I'll point out from the very beginning, none of this, even if they pass it all tomorrow, will not take effect until 2014. Do not get ill before 2019.
None of it.
All of it.
None of it.
Not
none
all of it.
Right here.
Not all of it.
No. Takes effect in,
most of it does, but not all of it. We'll get to that in specifics. But just real quick, here's what the proposals are.
All right.
We're going to have these insurance exchanges done by the 50 states, mm-hmm. regulated by the government.
Which means 50 different plans.
Which makes sure that, and also a national plan that'll be interstate. That's also in there. That's going to be a proposal that will keep, according to President Obama, he's going to keep the health insurance rates mm-hmm. using that. Number two, it's going to require individuals to buy insurance. We'll get to that in a minute. Number three, we're going to have insurance across state lines. That's the national health insurance. That's number three, the part that is carried in state. By the way, this is all in today's Washington Post. And I think you owe it to yourself and to your country to know what's being proposed. So,
we'll be selling these in the lobby later.
That's true. Next, there is an employer mandate for companies that have 50 or more people. We're going to expand Medicaid so that if you earn $30,000 or less for a family of four, you are covered by Medicaid.
You're bankrupt.
We are going to close the donut hole for prescription drugs.
Mostly. We're not going to close it completely, are we?
That'll help.
Are we closing it completely?
The president's plan would close it by 2020. Absolutely.
By 2020. Oh, well, don't get sick until 2020.
And,
well, right now, it's not going to be closed at all.
To pay for it, we're going to ask people who make more than $250,000.
Which would be Terry. That's what's really angering him. He is actually, that's why he's against this whole thing.
I don't think that's Terry.
I think that's right.
To pay for it basically by paying the same Medicare tax that people under those making $250,000 pay on their unearned income. I don't know what's the terrible boogeyman about this from the right or the left. I know it doesn't go far enough, Terry, but isn't it better than nothing?
Maybe not. It's as a, for instance, the credit card bill, which we were discussing the other night and arguing about. And yes, there are some things good about it, and it's controlling some interest rates. But at the same time, as it came out on NPR yesterday, the credit card companies have already adjusted their fees to compensate for any limitations on interest rates. So they have lost absolutely nothing. And so what really happens, again, the devil is in the details. The bills still have to be actually written, refined, combined. And if in those details, once again, they give in to the pharmaceuticals, they give in to the insurance companies, they have those little loopholes, we will still remain true Americans, that is, screwed.
Okay, Mr. Pessimist. Garland, what are your thoughts?
Well, there's two issues here. Issue number one is this. The first thing we have to look at is there are a number of people right now who have zilcho. They have zero. They have no health care. A lot of times when people discuss the details, well, is the public option going to be in it? Is it going to be this? Is it going to be Blue Cross and Blue Shield for all? You have to look at one issue. Right now, if you are poor, and you don't have to be poor not to have health care.
No, you can be middle class and working and can't afford it.
And someone sends you a card that says you now have health care. Do you really care about the public, no health care and you get a card that says you can now go to the doctor, you can now get your medication, while we squabble over the details and we say things like this part doesn't go far enough and this part the insurance companies are going to get this and all these other things, the people who really need it are saying, well, you know what? I got health care now. Who cares about the background? Who cares about the details? I don't understand them anyway. The only thing I know is I can get my medicine now. So that's one of the issues we have to think about.
31 million Americans will be covered by this bill if it passes the way the president wants.
31 potential Democratic voters.
How is that not a good progressive goal?
Because it matters what is covered. Now, you guys, I hate to admit this, but you guys are a little bit, not much, a little bit younger than I am. So, you know, you don't have...
Not quite as long as Drew's
you know,
sitting
I
here.
Have, I'm probably,
he called me sir today, and I didn't appreciate that.
I have right here in my golden heart, I have two stents, right?
Uh-huh.
I have a few more medical problems than you guys have. I hate to tell you this. I have, therefore, a little more experience with insurance companies and what happens.
But once you make it to Medicare, once you make it to 65, you're like across the line.
Well,
right?
Almost.
Like,
almost.
Just
almost,
made it.
And if it doesn't cover, and if it doesn't cover enough... If it doesn't cover enough, if you say there are things that aren't covered,
yeah.
If right now nothing is covered for you, if they only cover one thing, that's good.
It doesn't,
if they say we'll cover your toes now, if your toes aren't covered, you're better off than you were before.
There's two major flaws in that.
Okay.
One, you can still wind up bankrupt, which lots of people do, because they don't cover everything.
Well, you can, sure.
Yes, you can, so you still get screwed by the insurance
company.
Yeah,
but let's be clear about what this plan is.
Well, let's hear the other one. Let's hear the other one.
Wait, and the other thing is, nothing is being done that is changing the health care industry structure. That's the problem. The problem and the cost are driven by the insurance companies, by the pharmaceuticals, by the hospitals, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I can give you a perfect example. I have a young friend who's become a radiologist. He's just gone into his residency. He is depressed already because he is doing tests constantly he knows aren't needed.
Okay, well, Terry, let me agree with you.
And if we don't change
point.
Some of that structure, you haven't changed the damn thing.
Let me agree with you.
You have
on that
if you
point.
Don't have any health care.
Fee for service medicine, to me, has got to go. It's not, and it's not going in this bill. You're absolutely right. If we paid per person, then the doctors would heal the person rather than giving tests. The way it is now, a doctor gives a test, he gets paid, he sends it to the specialist, she gets paid, she sends it to the hospital, they get paid, and they can run the same tests on you again and again. I had a neck problem recently, and in fact, the surgeon wanted the exact same x-rays that the doctor had, because, well, I'm not saying it's because he's paid extra for it, but he needed to do his own kind of x-rays. Look, you're right about that. I am not saying this is a perfect bill. The perfect bill is Medicare for all. Terry, Garland, and I have long said that. Do what Canada does, do what Europe does, Japan, Australia, every industrialized nation on Earth. Fine. Conceded. It's not perfect. But it's better than nothing.
One of the
things this bill does, by the way, Terry, before 2014, right here, according to the Washington Post, down here, we both got the article in front of us, by the way. We're staring right there. Before 2014, there's going to be an authority given by a White House board, government-run board, that is going to restrict tax hikes on insurance premiums. That is clearly a good thing. If they do nothing, then we're the same as we are before. If they do something, it's better for some people.
Restrict tax hikes on insurance? Is that
No. Restrict rate increases.
Rate increases. Okay, you had me a little confused there, too, Mark.
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. They're going to,
try not to confuse
restrict
us here. We're Americans. We don't want to be confused.
But how is that not a good thing?
Well, the thing is, too, and you know, I got to get back to this. So many times when we talk about different things that are being changed to help the poor or the indigent or whoever doesn't have something. If you get back to when you're talking about these things from a political administrative perspective, you look at all the details, okay? But let's say right now there was a person who was starving and we passed a bill that would give them food, right? You're hungry. Now, we're talking about whether the food's nutritious enough, whether the people in the background are getting paid well enough, whether it's getting to them on time. All these things we're talking about, and we say you should vote against the bill to give that hungry person food because of the administrative details. They don't even understand the administrative details. The only thing they know is they want a plate of food. I get back to this time and again. While we squabble over the details, there are people who have no health care. And if you give them something and you say, well, it isn't enough, it doesn't cover enough, it doesn't change the structure, it doesn't fix this, it doesn't fix that. Right now they have a bagel, they have a goose egg, they will take a half a loaf. We talk about whether a half a loaf or a whole loaf or whatever is good enough.
Crumbs.
They'll take they'll take a crumb. If you're hungry
but the point
and
is,
you don't have anything, you'll take a crumb.
The flaw in that argument, Garland, is simply that if you allow somehow or other the corporations again to game the system, they will game the system. And they will game the system as they always do and always have, to the detriment of the citizen.
But Terry, corporations have been gaming the system ever since corporations.
Except you can't
form
you,
the 19th
century. Can, you
that's
can
always,
legislate
that out. But that's always going to happen. That's going to happen under any system.
It doesn't
system.
Happen in France and
well,
England
we don't
and
have
Canada,
universal
right. German, etc.
All right, yeah. But let me tell you, every single, whether it's civil rights, whether it's health care, whether it's Social Security, whether it's Medicare, whether it's the income tax, these things start off small and
right.
they grow over time. This is a step in the door. The Republicans
right.
know it's a step in the door. That's why they're opposing these very moderate, very minuscule changes, because they know once you put the step in the door, the thing can get wider. And the nice thing about this
Or,
bill,
on the other hand,
the nice thing about
once the
bill,
Republicans take over, they can repeal everything that's been
well,
put in place.
No, I don't think they can.
And I think
because
this makes it tougher for them to take over.
Rights, they don't want those rights taken away. Look at the state of Hawaii. Hawaii, which is in the United States, notwithstanding what the Republicans say, already has close to universal health care. They have an employer mandate. They require every single employer in Hawaii who hires more than 20 people, whether it's the ice cream shop,
mm-hmm.
whether it's McDonald's, they have to give that employee health care. There's not a single Hawaiian, well, I don't know about single Hawaiian. The vast majority of Hawaiians are very, very happy with their health care system. That 94% of Americans are happy with Medicare. 80-90% of Americans are happy with Social Security. In fact, the only concern of people my generation and younger about Social Security and Medicare is not that they're unhappy with it, but that they won't get it, and they want to make sure they get it. These things have a tendency to grow, and one of the nice things about President Obama's tweaks to the Senate bill is they don't just cover the poor. Garland, you're absolutely right about the poor, but let's face it. The poor usually don't vote. They don't support political candidates. They don't have nearly
oh, yeah,
as much
well, they'll
power.
Start once they get out again.
Well, they don't have as much power because they don't use it
31 million
as
new
the
voters.
Middle class.
Right.
And a lot of times people peg the Democratic Party as only the party of the poor. This is a bill that definitely goes to the middle class. For one thing, it gives something to seniors. It closes the donut hole. A lot of people over 65 said, and I'm sorry they said this, but I got mine, Jack. You get yours. Don't touch my Medicare. My Medicare is great. It's universal health care. What does this bill do for me? And if it doesn't do anything for me, I'm against it. Well, this gives them something, too. It closes the donut hole for
Okay,
drugs.
Let's go ahead and agree this is the greatest bill put forward.
No.
It's better than nothing. Let's go one step further for the sake of discussion, because eventually we're going to be getting some questions and stuff here. You know, is it going to pass? Is anybody going to respond to Obama's thing as it is? NPR, well, you just read the paper. The votes aren't there in the House.
It
There's
will
no
pass.
Question about that.
It'll pass. Let me tell you how
it's
going
to
pass.
And it's going to pass in the Senate. I mean, Senator Nelson's already kicked off.
Doesn't
he doesn't
matter.
Get anything.
Here how it's going to pass. It's going to pass through my favorite magic. In fact, I predicted this on the Raucous Caucus 2 months ago. It's going to pass. The House is going to pass the Senate bill, and the Senate is going to pass it using budget reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to do
By the way,
magic
you should know that Mark,
votes.
This is, there's a vested interest in this. Mark and I bet a dollar.
We have a
yesterday.
Whole 100
cents
on this.
We have a dollar
yeah.
that we publicly bet.
It has
a
to
dollar
pass.
Riding on this.
Because,
yeah.
because not in only do I get a dollar from Terry, I can rub it in for the next
and
several years,
this.
And that's more valuable than the dollar.
It is. And let me say this, Mark. It was an easy bet for you to say that it would pass through reconciliation, because the only way the Democrats will get anything through now is through reconciliation, because if they propose a bathroom break during the Senate proceedings, the Republicans are going to filibuster it.
Let's be clear what this means, because not everybody knows these magical terms of reconciliation and filibuster, all right? The Senate normally only needs a majority vote. All you need is 50 votes plus the vice president. No,
right.
that's what you need to pass a bill.
Right.
Now, there is a rule in the Senate that says that if people talk and talk and talk, as, say, the three of us are known to do,
I was about to say,
on
that's
and on
yours,
and on
the Senate,
forever,
buddy.
Then they can do that. And to stop people from talking, you need 60 votes to stop that. Otherwise, they basically kill a bill, and that's how the Republicans have insisted on 60 votes for everything. Now, to be fair, before this Senate, that didn't happen. Filibusters were rare. They weren't every single bill. The biggest filibustering Senate in American history was the one before this one. The 07-08 Senate, the first time the Democrats took power again,
right.
was the worst filibustering Senate in American history. And already in 2009, there have been more filibusters than the worst filibustering Senate in American history. The Republicans have laid down the gauntlet. They've said, you need 60 votes to govern. You need a supermajority. Well, whenever you break the rules in that way, you got to look for an exception in the rules. And that exception is called budget reconciliation.
The purpose of reconciliation, it began in the 70s, was really mostly for budget matters. It was a way to basically to cut the budget, to cut spending. But the Republicans then used it for Bush's tax cut because the Democrats were filibustering that. They didn't have 60 votes. George Bush broke the rules, the filibuster rules.
Medicare Advantage.
You're right. That's another time they used it. And they used it for things outside of its original use. The Democrats, unfortunately, and I think this is kind of their want, originally were nervous about using reconciliation. They were saying, oh, no, I don't know if we should do that. It's kind of bending the rules a bit. People might get mad. I think what the Democrats have learned is when they don't exercise the power that is theirs, people actually get more mad. Not just on the left, because we're angry they're not doing everything they were elected to do, but the moderates say, well, the Democrats can't govern. I guess we'll turn to the party that caused this mess in the first place. At this point, I think Harry Reid, the majority leader who's running for his life in Nevada and has a very tough election, understands that if he doesn't do reconciliation, if the Democrats don't show some, I don't know if I can say this word on the air. Should I say cojones on the air?
Cojones.
If they don't show that they're willing to put their... power is, if they don't, then they shouldn't be in control.
And I'll go one.
And so I think reconciliation, Terry, is going to happen, and I think they are going to pass a decent, not the best, but a decent health care.
I'll go one further and say this. If my opinion
Garland
is
wouldn't
this,
take the bet, by the way.
No, I wouldn't. I won't take any bet. But I'll go one further and say this. If the Republicans are going to break the record, which they do, they broke the record for the number of filibusters in 1 year, then the Democrats should break the number for the number of reconciliations.
Absolutely.
It's simply they have determined...
But you can only do reconciliation on budget issues.
Only on budget issues.
That's right. You can't do it on the budget.
But you've got to remember how it's already been expanded, Terry. Originally, it was only to cut the budget deficit.
Right.
Bush then expanded it and increased the budget deficit massively with his tax cut to the rich. So
you know,
I don't know why we can't increase it again.
You know, I mean, the question I really have for you guys, you know, I don't believe the Democrats, most of the Democrats, some of the Democrats for sure, Waxman, a few others, Conyers, a few others, but I don't believe a lot of the Democrats want this either and really care about it one way or
another. I disagree.
One,
Ben Nelson doesn't want it, Joe Lieberman doesn't want it, but most of them do.
No, because they're in hock to the same parties, they're in hock to the same money interests.
I'll agree with that.
They need the same campaign contributions, they need the same, they meet with the same lobbyists, the White House has been meeting with the same lobbyists. I don't think they really, really want it to the point of offending the insurance companies or any of their donors. And the reason I say that is twofold. One, because I know how much they are dependent upon it. And again, in case you didn't know, the average congressman / senator right now spends, I'm not making this up, 3 to 5 hours a day fundraising.
Okay. But
3 to 5 hours a day fundraising, begging for money. But the point I'm really making is none of them, including President Obama, have not made the real argument for health care.
I think if we put pressure on them and they recognize that we're not going to come out in 2010 and support them unless they do something for health care, they will move. They understand.
Well, that's part of it. I mean, we better show up at that summit.
Vote still elect senators. I realize that money plays a major role.
Yeah.
But we still have
we now have the corporations that are allowed to put any money they want.
Absolutely. Which is what now I got to turn from begging money for Congress to begging for money for
WPFW.
Can we do that with reconciliation?
I don't think we
even
need reconciliation.
Can we reconciliate these people?
I think the three of us are unanimous on this point, so I don't think we need it. And here's the thing about giving money to to WPFW rather than your member of Congress. If you give money to WPFW, you're actually acting against the corporations because we are the only non-corporate radio show, non-corporate, non-public community radio. I don't know if the only one in the country, but Pacifica is pretty
of any significance. I mean, there's little teeny low-power ones, but not 50,000.
So let me give out the phone number. Here. It's 202-588-9739, 202-588-WPFW, or you can call 1-800-222-9739, 1-800-222-WPFW. And if you give just $35, you become a member of WPFW.
Yeah.
If you get
a voting member.
Status.
If you get $50, you can have the privilege of coming right here to Ben's next door, to Ben's Chili Bowl, and to sit with the three of us and tell us off. And let me tell you something. That is a privilege. Maybe even a response.
Good luck getting the word in edgewise, we'll chew our food every now and then, and you'll get a chance
to
talk.
But for that $50, you get dinner with us.
That's right.
Free dinner.
And we did it before.
Good conversation. Yes. Thought-provoking conversation.
We did this before. It was absolutely great.
We did. We had a large number of people.
16 people. We had a blast.
And if you give $89.30,
You get not only dinner with us, but you get a wonderful book on the history of Ben's Chili Bowl.
Right. Great pictures. It's got pictures of all the people that have come to Ben's Chili Bowl, Bill Cosby, Hillary Clinton, on and on.
And if you give more than $89.30, you get our undying love and affection, which is far greater.
Oh, you'll get that for $35. Come on.
Not undying. It might die down the next pledge drive. So, Garland, why is WPFW different from other radio stations?
Well, the main reason is this, because we can have these kind of conversations. We can talk about any company, any corporation, any organization, it doesn't matter, because we are not beholden to any advertisers. Regardless of what, I've been on corporate radio before, and if you have any company, you know, Joe's Roofers, if they're doing something, if they're giving you money, you can't talk about Joe's Roofers.
I'm not so much worried about Joe's Roofers as I am about Exxon and Pfizer.
It's the same idea.
Let me
give you an example. Right. I worked for a station in Chicago doing rock and roll, WEXI. And sure enough, the station was owned by a guy that owned a Cadillac dealership, right? So if you were a second late on one of his Cadillac commercials, or if you said anything he didn't like, there was a red phone at that time that you had in the studio for A, being hit by a tornado, because we were in Illinois.
A red phone?
A red phone.
Was it a direct line to the Kremlin?
Direct line to a, you know.
So that's where Terry, and you know, Terry has
civil
red
service
on his microphone, red phone.
I always thought Terry had a direct line to the Kremlin.
Because if you get a tornado, if you get an atomic attack, that phone would ring constantly with the owner of the station calling you up saying, you can't say that, you can't do this, stop. WPFW, thank heavens, doesn't have a red phone. We are free to say basically what needs to be said. And you're not going to find that anywhere else. There's other stations that do a very good job. We love them. We respect them. But they do not investigate the way we do. They do not go where we will go.
They do not criticize the way we criticize.
They will not criticize the way we can. They won't even doubt the way we doubt, because they can't afford it.
So if you like the Raucous Caucus, if you like listening to us every Tuesday, and obviously we're not just talking to people here at Ben's Next Door, but everyone listening to our voice, this is your way of showing that you appreciate us, that you like what we do. I tell you, we get a lot of great comments when people call in. They say that, why does progressive politics have to be sullen and gloomy all the time?
Right.
You know, we can joke with each other while still dealing with the questions of the day and actually giving facts.
Right.
Because I'm a big believer in facts. And, heck, that's what makes us different from Glenn Beck, among other things.
Among other things.
And we don't use chalkboards.
Yeah. We really are. I mean, we really do ask for your support for Raucous Caucus here, because we really are building something different here. This is the first time...
A movement!
A movement. This is the first time WPFW has had anything like this. It certainly is the first time that there's been this much fun on the air on WPFW. And I'm not taking away...
Be nice.
Come on. Except for Cowboy, of course. And with Cowboy, everything's fun. But, you know, this is the first time there's been political discussion in depth with investigation, with facts, and with humor, and with the three of us.
And also
the first time a live show that's going to be broadcast continually from Ben's Next Door. This will continue. You can be part of it. It's fun. You can get some great food here. It will continue if you support us.
Right.
The other
thing is
that
it costs money to do this show. It costs extra money to do this show here at Ben's. Ben's Chili Bowl is cooperating like crazy. They're
wonderful. And our thanks to Nizam Ali for having us here for sponsoring your free dinner when you get $50.
Right.
And if you by calling 202-588-9739, 202-588-WPFW. Look, I mean, who do you want the money to go to? You want to go to politicians, corporations, or community radio?
And I'm sure you listen to, I'm sure all of our listeners at some point in the show, they want to reach in the radio and strangle one of us. It's not all three. I know I certainly
do. You can do it in person. Okay.
I know I certainly do. So this is the opportunity.
Wait a minute.
This is the opportunity for people to meet us, to come out, to talk about, take notes of something you're angry about. And you can come out for just 50 measly bucks. You can meet us here. You can sit down. You can have a half smoke and a banana shake on us, and you can give us all the hassle that you've been
wanting. Actually, it's on
Nizam,
it's on Ben.
Yeah, it's on someone. But whatever the case, you can actually give us a hard time about all those things that have been aggravating you for week after week after week.
You know, we had
particularly about
time.
Terry and Mark.
We did this 6 months ago. We had, was it about 16
people?
16 people.
We broke records on pledge.
We really did. And it was great just frankly meeting you. Sometimes, you know, we get all these people who say we love you on the air.
We
and they
want to
see what we look like, and we want to see what they look like. I had a guy come in, he thought I was black, and that was cool by me, but he was very surprised. He's like, wow, you're not black. I'm sorry.
I thought you were black all this time.
I thought you were white, Garland, all this time. So, you know.
You sound like my mother.
I'm not sure how to take that, but I think we can move on, though, and talk about health care now. Okay, you got the room laughing at me.
Yeah, good, all right.
Let's go back to health care.
Let's go back to health care.
Yeah.
Because I got to tell you.
Or the lack thereof.
Or the lack of thereof. By the way, it is the summit that they're having, which I call the wake, Thursday. It's for 6 hours, is that right?
The nice thing about it is it's going to be publicly televised. You know, the fascinating thing is,
you think
President Obama has been working behind closed doors for more than a year to try to get some Republicans on board. They were practically giving the red carpet to Senator Olympia Snowe of Maine everywhere she went, hoping that the so-called moderate, supposed Republican moderate from Maine, would vote for health care, right? She didn't budge. She voted for the filibuster. And so they tried, and they worked behind closed doors. And then when they didn't get the votes they needed, they had to offer anything to everyone, and that's why we got some kind of favors for Nebraska and some other things that, Obama's going to take out of the bill.
And in the interest of full disclosure, too, they also, I hate to tell you, in case you didn't know it, and it's all been out in the news now, they also worked behind closed doors in the White House with Axelrod, with Rahm Emanuel, working behind closed doors with the insurance companies, with the pharmaceuticals.
Yeah. Well, not so much with the insurance companies, more with the pharmaceutical companies.
Five or six meetings each time with Townsend of the pharmacy. You know, so this is why I am more than skeptical.
Yeah, but let me finish my point, because here's the thing. They worked with Republicans all year. They did it behind closed doors. They worked with Democrats behind closed doors, and Republicans had a fit. Mm-hmm. They said, you can't do this behind closed doors, despite the fact that every great legislation that's ever been done is done behind closed doors, because it's like, well, I'll give you this, if you give me this. That's the way it's been done for 200 years. That's why they call it sausage-making, and they say you shouldn't watch that, sausage-making or legislation. So Obama has called the Republicans bluff. They want it public. He says, fine, I will publicly give you my position. You have to publicly give me your position. And now the Republicans are saying, well, it's a setup because we don't have any
positions. And I think everyone, what you're saying is very true, Mark, and everyone knows, you know, this is the elephant in the room. Everyone on all sides.
They're getting that elephant
this,
in the room, right. The Republicans.
Yeah, both literally and figuratively here, they're getting the elephant in the room. Everyone knows that I don't care what the Democrats offer the Republicans. If they give them a blank piece of paper and say, here, write the health care bill, they're going to say no because they have to stop this. If the health care bill goes through, things might get better, and the Republicans know things have to be bad, really, really bad in this country in order for them to get any.
Let's talk about the Republican proposal.
I think everybody knows this. I think everybody knows it's kind of a bluff that they're going to have to call the Republicans bluff. They're not really going to contribute anything of value, and then they're going to have to go push it through reconciliation.
Let's talk about the Republican proposals, because I actually...
What? I haven't ever seen any.
Go on television with Republicans where they claim to have health care proposals. So let's talk about
You have no shame.
There's only two. That's
Fox
true, but you've known that ever since you've met me. Now, there are only
Fox
two
news,
proposals.
Money,
in fact, I'm going to be on
Fox News
tomorrow and Thursday. You can find
me on this guy
on my website.
This guy is a closet
fleabagger. Let me tell you, there's no question about it. You know, because I'm willing to talk with Republicans doesn't mean I have to agree with Republicans, Terry.
I think we should check his wallet, Terry. I think somewhere there's an ID card for the fleabag movement.
I think so.
He's a member.
Let me tell you what their...
Uh-oh, wait a minute. We're back to reality here.
We're on a break.
Oh, we have a break. Okay, we've got a break. We'll be right back with more of the Raucous Caucus.
We can catch our breath.
To the Raucous Caucus live here at Ben's Next Door. And you can see us here every single Tuesday live. And, you know, some people
right
want
to know Ben's Chili Bowl.
What we look like or want to, you know, harass us personally. You can do that. And enjoy delicious food at Ben's Next Door, next door to Ben's Chili Bowl.
And you can also ask us questions directly on the air, directly to our very faces.
And in fact, we already have a microphone set up in the audience, and if folks have questions, they can just stand up.
And even more importantly, you can get a WPFW T-shirt or hat, because we have them here every week, don't we?
That's true.
WPFW
T-shirt. If not, we'll take the shirt off your back, Garmin, by we'll give
just,
it to
just
them
to make sure they have it. Hey, before the break, I want the reason I brought up the Republican proposal.
What proposal?
The reason I brought them up is because they're going to say, well, you progressives, you don't give us a chance. So let's talk about the only two proposals I've ever heard from any Republican on this subject ever, all right? There's two. One they call tort reform, and the other they call insurance across state lines, all right? Let's deal with tort reform first, because that's the one they talk about all the time. What does tort reform mean? What it means is that even though 99-plus percent of doctors are good doctors and treat you well, Every now and then, there's a bad doctor. They will leave a scalpel in you after an operation.
Cut off the wrong
digit. They will cut off the wrong finger or the wrong arm. They may accidentally, take out your spleen when they were supposed to take out your liver. Bad stuff like this.
But the good news is nowadays, in case you haven't been, when you're like, I just had surgery on my arm, they do come and they write with a big magic
Which
marker,
is good.
Right arm,
Which is
on
good.
Your arm. But so the doctors, and they know, they can read.
The point is, if you are abused by a doctor, again, and I'm not impugning doctors here, 99% are good, but if you get a bad doctor and they abuse you and they leave a scalpel inside you, you might want another doctor, to take the scalpel out so you don't walk around, it doesn't cut you up as you walk. Well, Republicans think that you shouldn't get that. They think that if you get harmed by a doctor, you should just stay harmed with the wrong arm cut off, with the scalpel inside you, with the wrong body parts. Without legal recourse. That's what they call court reform, because they say there's this tremendous number of lawsuits. Now, most Republicans will say, no, we don't want to leave you completely without recourse, just poor and less able to deal with it. In other words, maybe you won't get the 100,000 you need to remove that scalpel, but only 50,000 you'll have to raise money to remove that scalpel. Now, this is an issue where, let's face it, Republicans and Democrats disagree. Democrats think if you're harmed by a doctor, you should get compensated.
If your
grandmother is killed by the doctor, or your mother, or your sister, or your brother, or your husband, then you should get compensated. Republicans say no, but here's the trick about tort reform. It's never discussed, except when President Obama is discussing. And that is that if we fail to compensate every single victim of every single bit of doctor abuse, do you know how much you'd save in health care? Less than 2%. Yep. If you spend $1,000 on health care a year and no one gets compensated, you'll still spend $980 a year. It is a minuscule aspect of health care. And if you compensate some victims and not all victims, then we're talking 1% instead of 2%.
And just as importantly,
this is the Republicans' big issue,
yeah,
1 or 2%.
The number of malpractice suits and the amount given has really not increased exponentially.
It's actually gone less than inflation.
What has increased is strictly the insurance companies raising their rates on the doctors.
That's right.
It's not because of the malpractice.
It's not the award.
Increasing.
It's not the doctors messing up. It's not
the
victims. It's even not the lawyers. What it is the insurance companies raising their rates, despite the fact that malpractice awards haven't even kept up with inflation. Now, unfortunately, this mouthful that I've just given in 3 minutes is too long, apparently, for anyone on Fox News to listen to, because whenever I start to give this explanation, they usually interrupt me within about five seconds.
Fox News doesn't have any shows that are more than 3 minutes, do they?
How interesting that the Republicans, for one of their only two proposals, has nothing to do with helping the people that actually don't have health care. We need health care reform. What can we do? Let's do something to help the doctors that are making $300,000 a year.
And to
help the lawyers.
Already suffered enough because they've gotten bad medical care. All right. Yeah. So that's their first proposal. Even if they get it, 1 to 2% of health care.
And some states already have that.
The second proposal, that's true. And by the way, President Obama would give a little bit on
tort
reform if the
Republicans
came on board. He's already
reform.
Said,
There's
you know
no
what,
question
we
about
would
that.
Cut down some of the lawsuits, maybe a tiny bit, if a Republican comes
there
on
are
board.
A number, there are
they
number
never
of states.
Agree to come on
there
board.
Are a number of states that already have
You're
those
right
feelings.
You're right,
so
Carl.
We don't. It's not like we don't know what it would do.
You're right. You know, the idea is that you get the scalpel inside you, you get a $50,000 cap. So you can get out maybe half the scalpel, but not the entire thing. All right. The other proposal that Republicans offer is they say, well, insurance should be able to go across state lines.
Notice what happened then.
But you know what? They don't want that at all because Obama's proposal actually creates a bill that allows private firms to offer national insurance policies across state lines. So if that's all they want, Obama's willing to give it to them. You know what they really want? They want them to avoid state regulation. You see,
that's right.
They want, if one state, if Mississippi says, we don't have to treat breast cancer,
just like
we
why
don't
you
have
go
to treat heart disease.
It's just like why you go to Connecticut to set up a corporation.
Delaware.
Delaware, thank you. Why you go to South Dakota for your credit card company.
That's why Citibank is based in South Dakota.
And let me add this. What they want out of this.
To the bottom.
Right, and what they want out of this is they want the corporation to have to abide by the laws in their home state. Well, all the healthcare corporations will do is they will all go to the state with the least
amount of regulation.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And they will all incorporate there, and they'll all work from the state
the
with
same.
The hand. And all they have to do is throw a lot of money and influence in that state to keep things that way.
Not only that, but remember, 80% of healthcare in America is given by your employer. So the employer can get a cheap rate from Mississippi that doesn't have breast cancer coverage or doesn't have good heart coverage. rather than the expensive one from California or New York that requires it, and then suddenly all across America, people get less health care and don't get a penny more in wages. That is the Republicans' goal. It's not state lines, which sounds so good. Obama's okay with state lines. It's avoiding state regulation.
Right. Avoiding regulation any way they possibly can.
I want to encourage anyone in the room that's
got
any questions
or challenges
to take to the microphone if you want
to.
Or you can, of course, pledge at 202-588-9739, 202-588-WPFW. Another issue I want to bring up, though, is the public option. Everyone is saying the public option is dead, and I'll even concede it probably is. But there's still...
We're going to be pushing it again tomorrow morning on what's at stake at 10 o'clock.
There's still a sliver of hope.
Dr.
And the reason there's a sliver of hope is that if we go the reconciliation route, and I hereby predict we will,
yes,
all we need is 50 senators. And I know we can't get 60 Democrats or even 59 Democrats to support the public option. I don't think it's out of the question to get 50 plus Vice President Biden. We'll lose the Nelsons and the Liebermans. We may lose the Blanche Lincolns of the world and Mary Landrieu. But I think we might just get 50 progressive Democrats. Remember, the House already passed a public option. So we don't have any problem in the House.
You know, but there's a game being played here, and we have to be aware of that. I mean, yes, they passed a public option. Yes, they knew all along
in the House.
Yes, they knew all along that the Senate would never go along with it. There's these games being played. You can put anything you want in the bill, including Senator Nelson's Give Nebraska Everything, knowing full well that it's going to be adjusted down the line. It allows the politicians, because they're not engaged in an honest debate, and maybe they will on this summit, I doubt it, but maybe they will, it allows the politicians, again, to game the system. We don't really, because, and I really mean this, they aren't arguing the heart of the issue. You know that the health care idea, nationalized health care, goes back, it was actually created first in Germany by Bismarck.
In like 1873, I believe.
Teddy Roosevelt proposed it 100 years ago.
It goes all the way back.
And he was a Republican.
No other nation in the world, no other nation in the world has a health care system like ours.
We are the most expensive and the least
profit-driven.
Of all industrialized nations.
There's a moral point about this. And Obama doesn't have the guts to say this. And it's true. And until we should be arguing, this is not equal. This is unequal. This is against everything that is implied in the Declaration of Independence, everything that's implied in American values, everything that's implied in the Constitution. And we are guaranteed justice, supposedly. We are guaranteed the common welfare, and it is not provided. And nobody brings this up either. This is not before the courts. It's not moral what this country does. It's not constitutional what this country does. And nobody seems to bring those really strong debates to the front, and that's what needs to be brought
forward. I want to raise
some
specifics about the proposal, and also for anyone in the room that wants to ask a question, please feel free to take to the mic. But if you look at the things in Obama's plan, and now he's finally spelling it out, now there is an Obamacare. There wasn't an Obamacare before. There were just proposals in the House and Senate. 81% of Americans in a poll support the idea of these insurance exchanges to keep prices down. 72% support the requirement that business offer health insurance. Now, I should point out that a majority of Americans also support the public option, and that's not in there, too.
And the majority of Americans don't know what the Bill of Rights are, but hey.
Well, that's true. But the thing that has the smallest amount of support I want to discuss, because I support it, I think it's a good thing. Only 28% of Americans favor fines on individuals who don't get health care. And let me tell you why I support that. And it's interesting. This is an issue that was actually in the campaign one of the tiny bits of differences between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. And Hillary Clinton supported this, and Barack Obama didn't. And even though I voted for Obama, it's one of the few things I agree with Hillary Clinton on. Let me tell you why it's important. The reason it's important is because most folks who are in their 20s, in their 30s, maybe some in their 40s, don't think they're ever going to get sick. They think they're just going to be just fine. So they say, well, I don't want to pay health care, and I don't want you to fine me if I don't get health care. I'm in great health. Then what happens? They have a car accident. They come down with leukemia. They need health care, and then they want to buy into the system. If you wait until people are sick until they buy into the system can't afford it. It's only taking care of the sick.
And this
the
is why this is why I do not think it'll pass.
Healthy people come in and help pay in insurance.
Let me add this. This is why, actually, opening Medicare for everyone is the only thing that would save Medicare. Because if Medicare was open for everyone,
not the only thing.
One of the few things that would save Medicare, the easiest thing. Because if Medicare was open for everyone, the people in their 20s and 30s who rarely get sick would be paying. Right now, with Medicare, the people who are older who are actually paying into Medicare are the people who get sick the most and have the highest bills. If we have people in their 20s and 30s and 40s who rarely get ill paying, Their money will all be going into Medicare. They'll be sick a lot less. Medicare will start to make money, and it would save Medicare. But we're never really told that.
We have a question from the audience.
Yes, please.
But a lot of people out here cannot afford to pay their bills. How can they be able to pay insurance, health care?
That's a great question. And, in fact, let me talk about
President
Obama's
plan. There'll
be some
subsidy.
I really appreciate that question. Here's President Obama's plan.
Which is the question.
If you make 133% of the poverty level, which is $30,000 for a family of four, you're completely covered. You're under Medicaid. If you don't, if you make more than that.
Wait, 130%?
130% of the poverty level.
Which is $30,000.
Which is $30,000 for a family of four.
That's ludicrous to begin
with.
For
a family of four. But
we understand that to begin with? That is a poverty level is ludicrous. $30,000 for a family of four? Who can live on that? A family of four?
But that's what it is. That's the number we have.
Now, you also...
So you're not helping. You're still damning people to inequality.
You also get subsidies if you make more than that. And the fine only kicks in, it costs 2.5% of your income. So, in other words, or $695 would be the minimum. So, if you make $50,000 a year, let's do a little bit of math here, that's about $1,250.
But you're still
talking about a family of four on, what, $39,000 at that
Which
level.
Means it would be free for them. What he's saying
it's
is
free for anyone
they wouldn't
who
pay
makes
anything
under $30,000. That's right.
They wouldn't
for a
pay
family
anything.
Of four. If you make more than that, then there is some coverage.
And I mean, you know, one of the most interesting, this is why I have so much distrust. There's actually a report now from New York and other states revealing that what is assumed to be the poverty level is absolutely absurd. And in fact, when they go and do real studies on what it costs people to live, it's 3 and 4 times higher than what is the official poverty level. Our government is not being honest with us on any level. And even to add something like this without getting the real level of poverty faced in the first place, it's a shell game.
If you have an employer, remember, they will require employers who don't provide the coverage to pay a fine. So if you're employed, even if you're making $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, you would get covered. So just to close, before we get to the pitch, just to close, I think this bill is better than nothing, and Terry and I have a dollar bet to see whether it matters.
If you have no coverage right now, it's surely better than nothing. It's better than what you have.
And one thing that's better than what you have is WPFW.
You're right about that. No matter what you have, WPFW is better.
Because you know what's so rare? There's so few Pacifica stations. What is it, 6 across the country, something like that?
Five
across the country. It is so rare to have radio that is not indebted to corporations, that is not indebted to the government, that's not indebted to anyone, that even lets the likes of Terry Kester
Wait
a minute, I think you're crossing his pledges here, Mark.
Well, let me give you Terry or Garland or me, if you like any one of us, please help us keep the Rockets Caucus alive. Help keep us in bins next door. That includes the people who are sitting us. By the way, people who are here, let people know you're there.
Can we have a little applause here?
We've got a crowd.
I want to make sure people know that we're live here.
Yeah, right.
Well, we're not just
and
making
you
it
could
up.
Be here. You
and,
really could.
We're going to ask you to pledge. We're going to ask people who are at home. 202-588-9739. It's so little money. $50, right. And you get to meet the three of us and tell us off. Heck, I know people that pay $100.
And you get dinner on Ben.
And you get dinner on Ben.
Let me tell you two facts to point out to you how important WPFW is. Back in the 70s, the Pacifica station in Houston, Texas, the transmitter was blown up twice within 2 years, openly by the Ku Klux Klan. They blow up the transmitters. Here in Washington, D.C., I can attest to you, hello Verizon, I know you've got your ISDN, that our lines were cut. Our T1 line to our tower was cut. Now, theoretically, Verizon should say, hey, WPFW, somebody accidentally cut your T1 line. That's why you're not on the air. Verizon did not do that. For 3 days, we were off the air trying to figure out what in heaven's name had knocked us off the air at the transmitter, the local station, et cetera, until we figured out on our own that the T1 line was cut. Sabotage. Now, you can blame Verizon. You can blame some nut with a pair of cable cutters or whatever. But the point is, TFW is honestly a threat to the establishment. It is a threat to the status quo. And that's why you should support it.
And we also really ask for you to help support, specifically support the Raucous Caucus, because we're honestly a bit of a threat to the WPFW status
quo. I hope
so. And let me tell you why.
This may be our last show unless you support us right away.
They're all progressive. They all tell the truth, but many of them talk about the truth in stark terms because, let's face it, the truth is kind of stark.
Yeah.
It is kind of
gloomy.
Not
a pretty sight.
It is kind of depressing. What we, at least I know Terry Garland, I believe, is that you don't have to deliver hard facts in a hard gloom and doom tone, that you can be
lively, fun, and talk about it,
and enjoy it.
We're going down the Titanic, fun.
You can see
we're playing the violin as we're playing the violin.
As we go down,
we're sinking, but it's fun.
We can play the music and at least enjoy it, because you know what? Even when you hear hard stuff, if you enjoy it and you joke about it, it's an easier way to deal with it.
And you know, honestly, I mean, we debate and we argue and we have fun and everything, but I think what we've discovered, which is really great, the three of us really respect each other. And we've had some great times together. We've had some great conversations, not only political, you know. And, I mean, I think we've discovered a symbiosis or something, I don't know here, that is unique.
And here's
that's
the thing.
Why we need your support.
Here's the thing about supporting us. For starters, for just $35, you can become a member of WPFW, which allows you to vote on what happens around the station and within the structure of the station, allows you to run and
you
become
could,
a member of the board to decide what happens and what goes on.
And you could vote that this show goes national.
And
you can do
true.
That.
And
you
if you're going to pay
that.
35, you might as well pay 50, because frankly, what's the difference? $15, that's a dinner at Ben Silly Bowl, plus you get to meet and tell off Garland, Perry,
or me.
And tell us who's your favorite one. I said, listen, we take names. We remember who you like best. We want to know specifically.
Right.
And if you really want to help the station and get a really cool book, 8930, which isn't that much more.
Two for one here.
Help,
two for one.
Would help the station and get a wonderful book, the History of Ben Silly Bowl, one of the oldest African-American restaurants in the district
it's
of
really,
Columbia.
It's really, you got to have it. Famous.
Hey, President Obama came here. That tells you something
this
about
history.
You've got to
have
it. United States is holding up the book for the people who are here in Ben's next door. And Nizam Ali is sitting right here, our hero, for helping us do this.
You have relatives or friends that come from out of town. You have to show them this Ben Silly Bowl book. You have to tell them, you know,
and
what's
happening.
And
then you have to bring them to see our show on Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock. And then you have to tell them you're a supporter of
WPFW. So let me give out the number again. 202-588-9739. 202-588-WPFW. If you forget the numbers, if you're outside and you're listening on the web, as many do, it's 1-800-222-9739. 1-800-222-WPFW. One more time, 202-588-9739. We do have operators standing by. Actually, there's a whole host of them. They're back in the studio. They'd love
and
to
they take
your
credit
call.
Cards.
Please,
and everything.
If you enjoy the Raucous Caucus, if you enjoy what we do.
And we know you do because you call in and tell us that.
Exactly.
When we can take calls, we're sorry we're not taking calls
even
tonight.
Even if you hate us, you
we've
can
gotten
join
calls
and try to vote us off the air.
Yeah, we've
idea.
Got calls in that attack
there's
got
to be one of us that you like.
One
right.
of my things about to be
three
one,
of
yeah.
We have different perspectives. We're all progressive. We look at things a slightly different way. Some of us more realistically.
Some
of us
more idealistically.
Some of us more pragmatically.
whatever it is. We hope that we represent you, and we're trying to represent you, and one way to do that
and
is
represent your concerns.
And it's by allowing you to call in and talk to us, to talk to us personally. Tell us maybe you have an idea for a show. You can meet us for $50 and get your view on the air. And
you get a free meal.
And you get a really good meal.
It's not like you don't get anything for your $50.
Yeah.
You get to hang out with us, and you get half smoked and chili fries and chips and all the good stuff.
Now, we have to close up shop, but before we do, I have to say...
We got maybe
10 minutes.
Well, if you want to, you can go ahead, you know, get something to eat. Terry and I will finish out here. No hard feelings, buddy.
Good night, Mark.
To
nice
wind
you
down
here.
The show a little bit.
Yeah, no, Terry. Yeah, Mark, we're out of time. Why don't you head on downstairs?
Trying to wind down the show. We have another question, though, from the audience. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. Welcome to Raucous Caucus.
Welcome.
Now, I appreciate you guys, and I'm not from D.C.
Okay.
I'm from Oklahoma.
Okay. You can get us on the web,
so
WPFW.org.
So before everybody say, oh, a country guy.
Hey, I used to live in Tulsa. Great
I'm from Nashville, Tennessee.
You're South American tonight.
My son goes to the University of Tennessee.
There you go.
Okay.
All right.
But I'm listening to you guys, and I'm listening to, and I don't want to call it rhetoric. I want to call it propaganda.
We give you facts, sir.
And you get, and, you know, all of those great things. We could just go on and on and on. But here's the bottom line. And the great thing about me coming here tonight, this is my first time in here. I've never seen or heard of any of you guys.
You're kidding.
So I don't know where you stand on anything.
Well, you're going to have to listen every week then.
How is that
absolutely
possible?
I'm going to go back. There's a good...
You can get us on the web.
Hey, let me tell
Oklahoma.
You. I'm not going to tell you exactly what I'm in D.C. for and who I am, but that's irrelevant.
Uh-oh,
okay.
Uh-oh.
All right. Let's
you
have
connected
we
with Dick
no
Cheney.
Idea.
Are you? Cheney one of your brothers?
Okay, let's talk.
But let me say this to you. As I'm listening to the conversation, and I'm thinking about the many American people around this country, and I'm trying to figure out where does each one of these guys stand, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
And so that bothers me, that the fact that I come in as a newcomer, you know, a neophyte, and I can't figure out where you stand on different issues, on the issue of education, on health.
Well, tonight with health care, do you know where we stand on health care?
I don't have a clue. So I'm sitting here listening. I'm like, well, where do they stand? Is this guy in the middle? I don't know his name. Is he in support of what Obama's talking about?
All right.
Is the brother on the right? Is he in support of?
All three of us support universal health care.
Right.
All three of us support what they call a single-payer system, Medicare for all, but we're not getting that. So all three of us support is a second choice, a public option, but we're not getting that. So the question is whether what Obama's proposing is good enough. And for Garland and me, it is good
enough.
I'll
take it.
For Terry, it's not
good enough.
But
it's more important than that.
Can I say something?
Okay, go ahead, go ahead.
And let me just be real honest with you.
Okay.
I'm a guy who voted for Obama. And I'm a guy who I think Obama is right now, he's doing way too much compromising.
Amen.
A lot of people feel that way.
Here.
Let me tell you. I love the fact that the ideal of learning how to work together, to bring folks together, to build a common good, I'm with that. But there comes a point in time when you have to walk a line of philosophy that you believe in and say, hey, look, whether you're black or you're white or whatever the issue, and first of all, it shouldn't be a black and white
it's
issue.
It's not a black and white
issue. Number one, it is an issue of...
An American issue.
An American issue.
Right. It's a constitutional issue. It's a moral issue.
So when I hear all of the folks bringing up, and most of the people want to make him either he's a socialist or he's this
That's
or
ridiculous.
He's that. It's ridiculous. Let's look at how do we serve. You said it about my guy on the
Terry,
left.
Terry's
always on the left.
You talked about the poverty issue. Let me tell you something. When you are a family of, let's say, two, and you're bringing $60,000 in a year, and you still are not able in Oklahoma, which we have a great economy in Oklahoma, and health insurance is a burden.
You better
something
believe it.
Terribly wrong.
Let me make a comment on something.
I want to clarify where the three of us stand.
He brought up something that's very important, and I think you hit the nail on the head, and that's this. The Democratic Party and President Obama have played the, let's work together and let's all play fair together and let's get something done. Game
naive.
Over for that.
Naive.
We have now reached the point where the Republicans have made it, they made it clear a long time ago, but it's absolutely clear now. They will go along with absolutely nothing. The Democrats have two choices. Choice one, throw in the towel and say to the Republicans, when you're in power, you have power. When we're in power, you still have power because we won't do anything to run you over. That's option one, and throw in the towel. Option two is say, we recognize you're not going to do anything. So we're going to just bowl you over, and we're going to do what we have
and
to
let
do.
Me
I think that's happening right
through.
Now. I think
let me,
but
let me
up at the beginning
the
of that.
But let me jump in, because I want to make the distinction clear to this gentleman.
Okay.
The three of us do differ on one thing, and this is very important. And we got to wrap up here quickly. I don't believe the system works. I believe the system is totally broken, Democrat or Republican. And I believe it's our job as citizens today and at this summit at the White House to be in the streets. We make jokes about it. But I believe it's our job, if we don't threaten, and I do mean threaten, I don't mean violence, but I mean with political, physical, moral pressure. If we don't threaten the Congress of the United States of America, we will not achieve anything.
And I support Terry's idea of going in the streets. I support Terry's idea of pressuring Congress. The one place I disagree with Terry is I say the system is broken but repairable.
We
and if it weren't repairable,
see.
I'd move to Canada. So I think we can fix it.
Have you got your passport
now
with you?
We
I think we're out of time.
He's packed. He's got a suitcase. He may be going to Canada tonight.
If you want to watch tonight's show, it's going to be on my website, marklevineradio.com. You'll be able to watch tonight's show and everything we do, and yes, even my tingles with Republicans on Fox News. Garland, where can they find you?
Garland Nixon, you can Facebook me, or WPFW Dialogue. We have our Facebook page, or just Facebook me at Garland Nixon.
And Terry D. Kessler, you can get me at WPFW.org, or Terry TDK at AOL, or you can just call Grigsby, our station manager, and say, hey, give Terry a message.
By the thousands of my dad. Anybody, just
you,
let everybody
you
call.
You can Facebook me, too, Mark Levine. Again, we will show this show live video from this show every week, marklevineradio.com. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Tomorrow, 10 o'clock,
come
what's at stake?
Next week to Ben's Next Door and see us live every Tuesday at 7 o'clock.